Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the moves to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I'm joined by my faithful co-host, Marcus Raper. What's up, Mark?
What's going on?
What you been up to this week, man?
Man, just ball games as normal. Practice and ball games. So,
I know you said that you're watching the Braves get smoked right now, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, World Series champs come out and they're getting beat 6-1, which I haven't seen the Reds hit a ball hard yet, but everything they hit seems to be falling. So,
oh, yeah, it's tough. But yeah, pretty much the same thing with me, man. It's been work and church and spending some time with the family and just kind of staying busy right now. There's not really much downtime to just sit and rest.
Yep. That's the way we are. I think Greg's got six games left, and then Trice is really just getting started. And Kenna's, you know, Park and Rick, it ain't – I think it still won't get started at the end of April, maybe right at the beginning of May. So, oh, man, it just – like I said, baseball season's always a fun one for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I know something we talked about earlier too is that you're struggling with the allergies, this stuff, just like I am.
Man.
So if you hear us kind of sniffling or coughing or whatever, just mind your business and keep on going.
Just bear with us.
And so today's episode, we wanted to do something a little bit different here. We told you guys that we'd keep you up to date with the NFL news during the off season, and to be quite honest and frank with you, there hasn't really been much since the week of chaos that ensued 2 weeks ago. So as far as news goes, we don't really have any. So to fill that portion of segment, Marcus has come up with a pretty cool, I guess you would call it a game, Marcus. So would you describe it to the listeners real quick?
Well, we're just going to be building the perfect Madden quarterback. If you play Madden, you know, when it comes out every year, everybody's worried about their overall stats, and, you know, they get that by putting together different statistics. So, you know, over the years, you've had some Madden quarterbacks that's just been crazy at, you know, certain stats. So we're going to go through and pick one quarterback, and once they're chosen, you can't use them in any other category, or if I pick them, BJ can't use them. So once the quarterback's picked, you know, he's done, and we're going to be filling speed, acceleration, and then agility, then accuracy, strength and body type, and awareness, injury toughness, throw power, throw on the run, and clutch.
All right, sounds good to me, Marcus. I like this strategy. Basically what we're trying to do is just build the perfect quarterback. And so I'll tell you what, we won't make it a competition or anything. We'll just kind of see who chooses what. How about that?
That's fine.
Because I know last time we did a mock draft competition last episode or two episodes ago, and you smoked me.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, most of the competitions I win, so.
Yeah, you know, we'll make this fair. One fun.
I won the Super Bowl team prediction thing, so, yeah.
Well, with that being said, Marcus, another thing that you won was a coin toss coming into the episode. So you get to choose your first quarterback and put them in whatever category you want.
Well, you know, important category for Madden and me being a homer is going to be throw power. You want your quarterback to be able to throw the whole field. And, you know, I'm going to go with Brett Favre. So Brett Favre's off the board, and my Madden quarterback will have the throwing power of Brett Favre. And I think it was in like 2001 that he had a 99 overall throw power. So that's where I'm going to go first.
I went ahead and typed it in before you even said anything, Marcus.
Yeah, you knew it was coming. And there's probably another one that's a little more important, but you know, category to go with if you're going to actually win in Madden, but
so I'm going to go ahead and take the goat off the board, and I'm going to choose Tom Brady for my clutch I guess category. And the reason I'm choosing him is because I know Brady's up for a couple more categories, and I'd rather go ahead and choose him now for this one to get him out of the way. And plus, when I think of clutch quarterbacks, I think of Tom Brady coming back from 28-3 against the Falcons in the Super Bowl. And so I think he's just about the most clutch quarterback you could think of outside a couple more. All right, Marcus, you're up, bro.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and take another very important one off the board, and I'm going to go Vic and my speed and acceleration, which broke Madden back in, I think it was 04, 03, 04. What Madden was that, BJ?
Oh, yeah, I think it was 04, if I'm not mistaken.
Falcons, yeah. So if he can, if he's got the – and Vic really probably has the arm power of Brett Favre, too. So, but Favre's throw power with Vic's speed is going to be pretty dangerous.
All right, man, I knew that was coming. So I had to look up, and I guess I'll take a look at a different category instead of speed. I'll save that one till later. Marcus, this may be a hot take, man, but I'm going accuracy here. And my accuracy is your boy, Aaron. I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers. I know a lot of people don't think of Aaron Rodgers as being an extremely accurate quarterback. I know there's a couple more people that I would even have in mind here. But, dude, like Rodgers, he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks that I remember actually watching.
Well, if you look up, you know, historical, like stats, he is the most accurate quarterback to ever play the game as far as completion percentage and quarterback rating and all that. I mean, he's definitely, when it comes to interceptions, I don't think there's anybody that's played, you know, as long as he has that's thrown less interceptions. So he's definitely pretty accurate.
All right, it's getting a little bit tougher now, Marcus.
It is. And there's one more category. And if you would have told me that I could have got these three, I wouldn't have really thought it would have come through. But I'm going to go with awareness and go with Peyton Manning.
Nice. He was on my short list there.
Yeah.
And because I literally sat down 15 minutes before we recorded, and I was like, wait, I got to look at this and see who I'm going to end up choosing in some of these categories.
I mean, other than if I could have got Tom Brady as my clutch gene too, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been it. Game over.
All right, let's see here. Which category was that again?
Awareness? That'll be awareness, yep.
I'm trying to type it into the show doc as we're doing it. Let's see here, man. I got some categories I can go with. There's a couple of people that I don't think you'll choose, and so we'll kind of save them for later on. All right, I'll go awareness as well. How about that? And okay. I'll go Drew Brees. And the reason I say that is Peyton Manning would have been obviously my first choice. Honestly, Brady would have probably been my second. And so I think I'm getting one of the third best in my eyes here. But I know that there's a couple more categories that Brees could fall into. And so to sneak him in here, I'm not upset about it.
Yeah, for sure. Cause Brees was probably going to be my accuracy, but I was trying to hang on to him till a little later.
Yeah, that's why I went ahead and chose him here.
You still there?
Yeah, so what you looking at next?
Well, let's see. I think I'm going to go with injury and toughness, and this would be another category for Favre. And this, again, is probably a little bit of a homer pick. But one who was right behind him and always played through a lot of injuries and stuff was Eli Manning. So I'm gonna go with Eli on my injury and toughness.
Nice.
He was the Iron Man. I think when it comes to consecutive starts, he was right behind Favre.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I don't think he missed many games at all, honestly. Man, this is getting more difficult. All right, I'm gonna go speed here. And, man, I got two players in mind, but I want to be strategic here. I want to go Lamar Jackson. I almost chose him for agility, but I got somebody else in mind. I actually got two people in mind there. And so as far as just speed and acceleration, I think he's one of the best there was, or best there is, actually. What comes to mind off the top of my head was that run that he had against the Cincinnati Bengals. To where he just turned it on out of nowhere and hit that spin move for the touchdown. Yeah. And so I'm comfortable with it.
I think I'm going to go throw on the run and take Patrick Mahomes.
Nice. I like it. if you know one thing about Mahomes, he's really good at those throwing on the run and getting out in the pocket and everything else.
Yeah, you can't put pressure on the dude. Like if you try to sack him, it makes him better.
All right, so I'll go throw power here. And I'll choose Josh Allen. He was another quarterback, like you was talking about earlier, that had a 99 throw power rating on Madden a couple years ago. And so he was one that kind of came to mind here, just as far as having the distance, you know. And so I'm not upset about it.
All right.
What you thinking next?
I'm going to go for accuracy. And I'm kind of debating. I think I'm going to go Joe Montana. He's an older dude, but, man, that, you know, I think he's one that gets overlooked in this category, which ultimately, like we said, when it comes to accuracy, I mean, Drew Brees is, will always be known that, I mean, if the receiver was anywhere close to being open, he was going to get him the ball. But Joe Montana is another one that he didn't miss a lot of throws.
That's true. I'm hoping to steal one out from under you here, Marcus. And so I'm going to go with strength and body type. And I'm going to choose Cam Newton. The reason being is because Newton was a monster. And he's one of those guys where if he was running the ball, he was willing to lower his shoulder and stuff. So I'm going to roll with him.
For sure. That was definitely one that was sitting kind of in my radar. Let's see.
All right, let's just update wherever we're at right now. Right. We still haven't chose anybody for agility. You like strength and body type. I like injury and toughness. I like throw on the run, and you like clutch. And so far, the quarterbacks that have been chosen is Brett Favre, Tom Brady, Michael Vick, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Eli Manning, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Montana, and Cam Newton.
Yeah, and I'm going to go ahead and start with the agility here. And I'm going to go Steve Young, which was a guy who was hard to get a hold of in the pocket. And, you know, done a good bit of running in his time. And he was hard to track down.
Good pick, man. He was actually on my short list for another category. So I'll go injury toughness. And there's one specific clip that comes to mind when I think of a quarterback who's fighting through injury and just being a tough quarterback. And I'm sure you know where I'm going with this, Marcus.
Well, there's two that pop in my mind, aside from Favre.
And Eli. All right, so the one that I'm going is Matthew Stafford.
That's what, yeah.
I think of the time where was it his shoulder popped out of place or had a broken collarbone or something.
Yep.
And went back into the game to finish the touchdown drive off.
Yep.
I'm pretty happy about that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. The next one I was thinking would have been Elway.
Oh yeah.
When he went over the top in Denver, you know, and almost died. Let's see. I'm gonna go clutch here, and I'm gonna go older guys will know what I mean in this. And it sounds crazy because he never won a Super Bowl. But if you think about some of the games that he come from behind and won. I'm going to go Dan Marino.
Nice. Let's see here then. I think I can wait and save that other person until the very end, honestly. I'm going to go throw on the run. And I think it's somebody that you wouldn't normally expect here. But it's somebody that I think has established himself currently in the NFL as one of the best throw on the run quarterbacks. And I want to go Russell Wilson. And I know that may be a hot take, but when he was in Seattle, specifically with Legion of Boom, it was Boom, that's all I remember him doing was just doing like escaping the pocket and throwing for touchdown passes.
Let's see
what you got left. You got strength and body type, and that's it.
Is that my last one? Okay.
Yep. You get strength and body type. I get agility.
All right. So if we're just going off strength and body type, and nothing else, just the fit. This is definitely out of the box. But I'm going to go with Jamarcus Russell,
nice.
who looks wise, was probably one of the best looking quarterbacks, you know, that fit the build ever.
Yeah.
Nah, he was horrible. I mean, you know, I don't know that coming into the league that he didn't look more like the quarterback. Like when you talk about Cam Newton, he had the looks better than Newton did, but he just never could produce on the field.
Yep. So that leaves me with agility. Marcus, help me out here, man. When you say agility, what are we categorizing here?
I mean,
this is one of those words that I have a hard time understanding.
Well, agility to me is it's not the speed, it's not the throwing on the run, it's the maneuvering in the pocket. Like,
okay, I'm cool with that. That's exactly like, what I'm looking for then.
You know, like Steve Young to me, and he could throw on the run too, but it was just, you know, like I guess pocket presence. You know, the dude would step up when he needed to.
Being slippery in the pocket is kind of
exactly what, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going with current NFL quarterback Kyler Murray then.
Oh yeah.
He's short and he's tiny, but dude is hard to sack. And I think we saw that whenever it was one of the games last season when the Rams that was playing the Cardinals, and it came down to them having to sack Kyler Murray in the very, very last possession of the game. And I think Aaron Donald did it. But with it, I mean, dude's hard to tackle back there. So let's give a recap real quick of our perfect Madden quarterbacks draft style. Speed, Marcus, you chose Michael Vick, and I think that was a fantastic pick. I had to go Lamar Jackson. Agility, you were Steve Young. I was Kyler Murray. Accuracy was you were Joe Montana. I was Aaron Rodgers. Strength and body type, you were Jamarcus Russell. I was Cam Newton. Awareness, you chose Peyton Manning. I chose Drew Brees. Injury toughness, you chose Eli Manning. I chose Matthew Stafford. Throw power, you chose Brett Favre. I chose Josh Allen. Throw on the run, you chose Patrick Mahomes. I chose Russell Wilson. Clutch was your Dan Marino to my Tom Brady. I think I'm pretty pleased with that list, and I'm sure you are as well, Marcus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had to look it up, though. Cam Newton is 6'5", 245. Jamarcus Russell was 6'6", 260. So he was actually a little bigger.
Yeah, 15 pounds on him.
Man, the hype behind that guy coming out of college. Oh, everybody thought, you know, this dude's fixing to come in and change the way the game's played. And he never done anything.
So some players that I had in mind with the body type thing is I almost chose Ben Roethlisberger just to be funny. But I was like, you know what? He's too slow. I don't want that body type. But my mind automatically went to, do you remember Jared?
Tim Tebow.
Do you remember Jared Lorenzen?
Oh, yeah. The hefty lefty.
Yeah. The guy that was built like an offensive lineman.
Super Bowl champion.
Dude. And so with him, I was like, I was really, really close to choosing him for body type.
He was Eli's backup when they won the Super Bowl the first year.
That's crazy.
And he went on to win, I forget how many arena football championships. It was a bunch. I can't remember. But I remember the pictures when he left the NFL and went to the arena, and they, you know, he could do whatever he wanted to. He really got, you know, huge. I think he ended up passing away.
I believe you're right. And I think didn't he go to college at like Kentucky or somewhere?
I believe it was Kentucky. Yeah, because he was big then. He was big in the NFL, but when he played for like the arena team he played for, I remember it was like a green looking team because they had him in that outfit. Man, he had gotten big.
He kind of looked like do you remember the Kansas City Chiefs player? I think it was Poe who threw the touchdown pass there, or 2-point conversion or something.
Yeah, you know, Poe. He was from Ole Miss.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He played defensive line for Ole Miss for 2 or 3 seasons. I think he went straight to Kansas City. I think that's who drafted him. I can't remember. Yeah, Poe was there when Dexter McCluster, all those guys.
Oh, wow. It's kind of crazy that he threw a touchdown pass before Travis Kelce did.
Yeah.
But anyways, and so that was our, I guess you would call it best Madden quarterback model is what we could say. So our second segment of this episode is our rookie spotlight. This is something that we're going to try to keep doing as the NFL draft gets closer. So something that we've decided to do is just basically each week we're going to showcase one rookie per episode until the draft arrives. We'll choose one player that we're either higher on or lower on than consensus, and we'll give you some reasons why we like them or dislike them. So, Marcus, I went first last time, man. I'm going to give you the opportunity to go first this time.
Okay. On the rookie spotlight, I went with James Cook as the younger brother of Dalvin Cook. And then he looks to be like a second day guy, and I'm a little higher on him than what most people are. What I like about Cook though is his catching ability out of the backfield. To make it, you know, in the NFL, in today's NFL, you've got to be able to catch out of the backfield, especially, you know, if you're going to be used as like a third down back or something in that sense. Mm-hmm. He could add a little size. I think he's, you know, barely under 200, maybe like 190, 195. So if he puts a little size on, I think he could be a three down back, but he's definitely going to be used, you know, in the NFL as a third down to you know, catch it out of the backfield. He kind of reminds me of like a Hines or McKissick, but he's got the speed. That's one thing that I do. I think he runs like just barely over a 4.4. And, you know, if you're looking for like a late round sleeper, this is a guy who I think you could go after, and, you know, good genes run in the family. You definitely see what Dalvin Cook's done. He's tore it up in the NFL. So, you know, I really like James Cook and going to be trying to look at him late in the second round of the rookie drafts.
Yeah, and I think in some rookie drafts, you can probably grab him in the third as well.
Yeah, yeah, probably so.
He's right there or along the lines of like Brian Robinson, a little bit behind him, in my opinion. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm not upset about that at all, Marcus. I love the fact that you're choosing the later rounds to kind of highlight some of these players with. I think it was last time you chose, who was it, Calvin Austin?
Uh-huh. Well, and one of the biggest reasons behind that is I work too hard to give my picks away, and I definitely don't want people to know who I'm going after in these early rounds because I'm kind of – I don't know if you'd call me the bad guy, but, you know, I've got not enemies but people who we like to pick on each other. In these leagues that we're in, and they listen to this show, and I know one of them for sure will try to steal my players on purpose. Like one of those guys will take the guy that I want when there's somebody that they want there, just, you know, just to kind of get at me.
So, yeah, shout out Robbie.
Yeah, I don't. I think Robbie does. Whoever he's drafting behind, he gets a kick out of. He knows, like, of course, I'm a Green Bay fan, and everybody knows it. And in The Walking Dead, one of the leagues that we just done, Dynasty League, Robbie had no intentions of taking Davante Adams as high as he did. But because he was drafting right in front of me, and he knew that I was at the point to take a receiver, he drafted Adams, which ended up, you know, with everything that happened, him going to – which I think he would have done good at Green Bay, Oakland, either one. But Robbie, I think, is going to be happy with that pick in the, you know, this year, and even in the future. But he done it just to where, you know, he's like, look what I did.
Yeah, and if
there's a couple other guys like that. Derek, I love Derek to death, but every year in the church league, it's going to happen two or three times that he's going to pick the guy that I've got queued up to go. So.
And if you're like my team, I trade away first and seconds, man, all the time in these startups and stuff like that. just trying to go for a win now method. And so for me, there's a lot of leagues that I'm in that I don't have a single pick till mid second, early third.
Yeah.
And so I like the fact that you're choosing some of these players. However, I will say this, in one league, I've got the 107. I think it's the 106. And it's a league where I don't think any of those league mates actually listen to this podcast. So I'm going to talk about the person that I'm actually eyeing there at 106. In the NFL today, there's basically three types of wide receivers who are thriving, Marcus. You got your big-bodied alphas. Who do you think I'm talking about here?
Well, I mean, probably A.J. Brown.
Yep, that's exactly Metcalf. Right. A.J. Brown, Metcalf. I'd even throw Davante Adams in there. Just somebody who can use their size to go up and get it. Secondly, you
Calvin,
got your
Calvin Benjamin.
Calvin Benjamin, yeah. I almost put Calvin Johnson on there because that's the prime.
Oh, he's the one that created that style. You didn't see the big guys like that do what he done before him. Mm-hmm.
After that, you got your route technicians. Players that I think of like this will be your Justin Jefferson, your Jamar Chase, Cooper Kupp, T. Higgins. players that aren't necessarily the biggest players out there are the alphas, as far as like going up and getting it, but as far as can just break a DB down, I would throw them in there. But last but not least, you got your speedsters. You got your Jalen Waddles, your Tyreek Hills, your Hollywood Browns. My rookie spotlight for this week is going to fall under that category of speedster. And with me being an Alabama fan, I got to throw at least one Alabama player here. And it's the one and only Jameson Williams from Alabama. Williams was a wide receiver at Alabama last season. He stood at 6'2", 190, and he torched defenses in his senior year. after transferring to Alabama from Ohio State, Williams lit the SEC on fire with Heisman winner Bryce Young. He finished the season with 79 receptions, 1,572 yards, and 15 touchdowns against those SEC defenses. Even in the SEC championship game when they played against soon-to-be national champions Georgia, Jameson Williams put on a clinic, man, and had 7 receptions, 184 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The only bad thing was is that for Williams and Alabama fans everywhere, his season came to an end in the first half against Georgia in the national championship as he tore his ACL. And so I know that some people are kind of hesitant on drafting Jameson Williams that early at 106, 107. But one thing that I will say here is that you can't teach speed. Jameson Williams, although he is coming off of a torn ACL, I think he's going to recover fairly nicely, and I think he's going to get back on his feet really quickly. He's going as a wide receiver 4 right now in most rookie drafts before even his landing spot is set. Just imagine what's going to happen whenever Green Bay drafts him or whenever Kansas City goes out and takes him. And so he's being drafted around that 106, 107 range in one quarterback, and even in Superflex, he's still within that first round range. And so with this rookie wide receiver class being kind of deep, I genuinely believe that there's a really, really good chance that if you draft Williams that late in the first round, he could very, very easily be a future wide receiver 1 stud on your dynasty team. Players that I would compare him to in the NFL right now specifically would probably be Jalen Waddle. Watching both of them play at Alabama, I saw a lot of tendencies, or same tendencies in their games. I think of Devontae Smith, but a little faster version than Jameson Williams. Players that I would easily put Jameson Williams over in rookie drafts would be wide receivers like George Pickens, Jahan Dotson, Justin Ross. I may even throw running back Isaiah Spiller in there. But basically what I'm trying to say is keep your eyes peeled in that NFL draft. Watch where Jameson Williams goes and watch what kind of team ends up using their draft capital on them. Keep your eyes open for that stud. Marcus, did you get to watch any Jameson Williams this year?
I watched, you know, SEC championship, national championship, and then, of course, when they played Ole Miss. And I agree. I mean, he's a stud. You know, I mean, he's a game changer. I think the national championship would have been played out a lot different if he wouldn't have got hurt. So I knew when he went down, that was probably ball game.
Yeah, I said the same thing, honestly. And I'll be completely honest with you, man. I almost threw John Mechie in there today.
Yeah.
I've noticed that Mechie's draft capital right now has plummeted.
Yeah.
To where I've seen him go in like third round of rookie mock drafts right now. And I think people are missing out, man.
I've seen a lot of the leagues that are, you know, that are drafting, and I've never heard of it until, you know, checking a few things going along with Dynasty, and there's not a lot of people that do it, but people that are drafting before the draft, like they're doing their Dynasty rookie drafts before. And I'm like, man, that's crazy. But again, it would be neat too, you know, because I mean, you're playing, you don't know what these rookies are going to do, and then you're drafting them and don't even know what team they're going to be on. So that's what's
crazy, man. It's like, I'm part of me is intrigued by that. Because I'm like, dude, if you put in your research, then you know what you're getting, you know? That way you don't have the mistake of drafting CEH above Jonathan Taylor. Yeah. But on the other hand of it, though, too, is the fact that think about how many people ended up, like, missing out on some of those stud players like this, you know?
Yeah.
I know, for an instance, right now, people are valuing Breece Hall at 101 in a lot of leagues. And they're saying that he's up there with Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift. And in my personal opinion, I'm not going to rank somebody that high in my dynasty rankings whenever they haven't even played a down in NFL right now. So I had the 101 in one league, and I traded it straight up for Javonte Williams, and I didn't feel any remorse about that at all.
No, don't blame you. I would have done the same thing.
And so, Marcus, let's jump into this last segment, man. Something that we're going to do called Buy Now, Sell Now, Pre-Draft Edition. So as we get closer to the NFL draft, Marcus, I'm pretty sure we can anticipate the fact that some dynasty values are about to either skyrocket or take a massive hit. For example, Tyler Boyd, 2021. If you remember Tyler Boyd's dynasty value, dude was up there at like wide receiver two range, and not like dynasty overall wide receiver two, but in there like around 12 to 24. And whenever they drafted Jamar Chase, he took a hit. And so in today's episode, me and Marcus will be choosing two players each that you need to either move ASAP or put out some offers to attain. So, Marcus, I'm going to let you go first again with your sell now, all right?
No, I know my sell now, and this may be a hot take. I know it's going to be for Cowboy fans, but Zeke, get rid of him. And this is a consensus from a lot of what I'm hearing around Dynasty. And I had the opportunity in the Yellowstone League. I had Zeke, and I traded him for two late seconds. And ended up with Dalvin Cook. They're both about the same age, but I was super happy with that. I'd been trying to move Zeke and hadn't had any luck doing it. But he's been injury prone over the last few seasons. He's not been very productive on the ground. And I think the biggest thing is he's lost the burst. Watching Zeke early in his career when he would hit the holes, you know, it was wide open. He had a lot of yards after contact, and he's just lost that. And Tony Pollard is right on his heels. So you probably, you know, you don't want to trade for somebody as old as what I done in Cook, especially in Dynasty. But if you can get, you know, get rid of Zeke and get some young talent, maybe even somebody that, you know, you're looking to blow up in the future, I'd get on it.
Yeah, Zeke's one of those guys, man, to where, like, his dynasty value is taking so much of a hit here lately. In our Walking Dead league, I needed a flex play because I didn't want to roll with CEH every week. And so I ended up trading away a 23 first, which fingers crossed would be a late 23 first, for Ezekiel Elliott. And one reason that I did that, too, is the fact that I've got Tony Pollard on my bench. And so I'm like you, Marcus. I think Pollard's going to fight for some more carries this year. And it wouldn't surprise me to see him kind of surpass Zeke as the season goes on. But I still think Zeke's a decent flex play right now, but I'm kind of like you. I would much rather go ahead and move him now instead of waiting around and getting stuck with him.
Yeah. Well, in a dynasty too, if it's something like you did, traded for a late first round rookie pick compared to most people who draft him in the first, you know, three or four rounds. So if you've got a startup draft, fourth round pick tied up in him, you know, you want to get rid of him compared to, you know, a late first round rookie pick.
Absolutely. So, Marcus, I'm going to be right there in the same boat with you, man. I think I'm going to tick some people off with my sell now, but just hear me out. So, right now, I'm calling for our listeners to go and put out some offers to trade away Austin Ekeler. Now, I know. It's tough to let go of running backs who just finished in the top two of their position in 2021. They probably led you to a championship, like most championship teams that I saw last year. But I'm a firm believer in selling players at peak value to pick up draft capital. So basically, don't get caught holding the bag unless it's absolutely necessary with Austin Ekeler. Ekeler finished his 2021 campaign as the RB2 in PPR formats. He's on an explosive offense and is very appealing to a win-now team. When Melvin Gordon left the Chargers in the 2019 season or offseason, Ekeler skyrocketed in dynasty value. He went from a measly flex play to an RB2 to an RB1. However, the 26-year-old running back has had a history with injury concerns, and you must begin to ask yourself, how much longer can his 5'10 frame hold up? How many more years of elite production can you truly get out of Austin Ekeler? Will he still be fantasy relevant after this 2022 season? What about the 2023 season? So all I'm saying is this, man. If you got Austin Ekeler on your team right now, instead of holding on to him, or even like what Marcus said with Ezekiel Elliott, why not go ahead and try to get you a young, proven talent like J.K. Dobbins, Antonio Gibson, or Cam Akers, and even possibly getting a 2023 draft pick thrown in there? If that was me and I had Eckler on my team, I would smash accept that and be thankful that I didn't get caught holding the bag on the ticking time bomb that is Austin Eckler and have to switch into rebuild mode. I know for me, Marcus, a lot of my dynasty teams, I have some of these older running backs in, and it's a weird spot to be in, man, because with Dalvin Cook, with Zeke, with Austin Eckler, with Joe Mixon, with CMC, with whoever it is, you know that those running backs can produce, and you know that in dynasty they can win you championships. But, dude, look how quickly Le'Veon Bell fell off. Look how quickly David Johnson fell off. Look how quickly that most of the running backs who are not even fantasy relevant right now, how quickly they went from being a top two, top three dynasty running back to not being hardly on anybody's team anymore. And so you got to kind of get ahead of this stuff.
Yeah, very seldom do you see a fantasy running back produce, past the age of 27, 28 years old.
Yep.
So I think, I can't remember the exact age, but, Ben, he's told me before that as soon as a running back, I think it's when they turn 26 or may have been 25, he starts trying to trade them.
That's what he said. He said that one of our league mates, Ben McCarthy, his method is that he sells running backs before they hit that second contract.
Yeah.
And just basically it's a rotating door. So another player I will throw in here as an honorable mention that I think people need to kind of lower their expectations on is Derrick Henry. The reason that I say that is when he came back from that injury in the playoffs, he didn't look like his old self at the beginning of the season. And he may come back in this season and still be the RB1 or whatnot, but dude's 28 years old. And so you got to kind of be looking out for that. And so, Marcus, let's talk about these buy nows, man. Now, when I'm talking about buying now, I'm basically talking about getting ahead of the curve, okay? And what I mean by that is buying a player before they skyrocket after a week or two of good production. And so, for my buy now, I'm going with Albert O. And, Marcus, I'm going to be completely honest with you, man. I have no idea how to pronounce this dude's last name. But most people didn't even know who this dude was last year. In a year where he shared the field with Noah Fant, Albert O produced tight end 29 numbers, outproducing four NFL starting tight ends. Granted, most of them were either on struggling teams or were injured. But the 23-year-old tight end is a young athletic freak at 6'5", 258. He's now paired with Russell Wilson in Denver on an offense that is expected to be improving significantly. And Albert O has actually snuck into a lot of people's top 15 to 20 tight ends in dynasty rankings and could easily become a fringe top 10 dynasty tight end after he has a year like Dawson Knox or Dalton Schultz had last year. I'm going to be honest with you guys, and I hate to give strategic tips and all this, but if I could get Albert O right now for a mid-second round pick in a Superflex tight end premium dynasty league, I'd be willing to part ways with that just in hopes that it turns out to be a massive hit. He's one of those guys where I think he just looked up into the perfectly right situation. And so before he actually produces some decent numbers alongside of Russell Wilson, I'd probably go ahead and shoot a couple offers out there. Or it could be like Marcus and pick him up on the waiver wire.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah, I did too. As soon as I heard the news, I was like, click.
Yeah, he's one of the guys that I've sent several offers out, which I think, besides the league I picked him up in, Steven Deaton owns him in several. And, of course, yep. It's going to take a 102 to get him. Yeah.
Yeah, because I offered 202 the other day, and he's like, nah.
Yeah, he was trying to get, I think it was Goedert for me, and that's he wanted me to give him Goedert, I think, for a second. And
Alberto.
Whatever. Alberto, yeah. I'm like you. I ain't even going to try to pronounce his last name. But.
I don't want to butcher, man. It took me long enough to find out how to pronounce Tungavaloa.
No, yeah.
And so I'm going to stick one hard name at a time.
I struggle with pronouncing names anyway, so, yeah, I'll leave it alone.
All right, Marcus, who's your buy now right now in Dynasty?
Well, my buy now right now is probably Austin Riley after watching this massive home run he just hit.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm trying to – multitask. It's opening day, so they're still down 6-3. So But no, it's Michael Thomas, and he's an older guy. You know, you would think with the bye now, getting ahead of the curve, but Michael Thomas right now is going to be the cheapest that you're ever going to be able to get him. And you know, for where you can get him in a startup value, it's a can't miss. I've got Thomas coming back as probably a top 15 receiver. And he was injured last year, but of course, I think we all know he was trying to get traded. The reason he didn't come back, trying to, you know, get a contract extension or whatever his reasoning was. But you know, if you can get him in that top 20 range and he puts up, you know, numbers like he did in the 2019 season, it could be, you know, season changing for your fantasy. And if Kamara, you know, he stays in the trouble that he's in and doesn't get to play, then who else are they going to give the ball to? So, you know, I think Michael Thomas is somebody that you need to go out and get before the season starts. Once they get to rolling and, you know, he has those first couple weeks of just crazy numbers, which I think he's going to, you know, his values just can go right back through the roof. If you're in a league or in several leagues with a bunch of Saints fans like I am, it's going to be kind of hard to do. Michael Thomas is somebody I wished – I don't own him in any league that I'm in. I wished I did. So, be hard for me to get a hold of him. But, you know, people who's not in those leagues with a bunch of Saints fans, that's a guy that they definitely need to go after.
Yeah, and I'm kind of in the same boat with you. You may be a little bit higher on him than I am, but even with that, I think what you have to look at is the price right now.
Yeah.
You can get Michael Thomas for stupid cheap from most people who have him.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is that, man, you imagine being a Michael Thomas manager and having him on your dynasty team, and he sat there for 2 years with no production.
Exactly.
Would you take a mid-second for him? Yeah, probably, you know. And so, for instance, if you're one of those teams to where you need a wide receiver and you got some picks to spare, why not shoot it out on offer and just see where somebody's at? I think it's one of those things where, just like Allen Robinson was at the end of last year with Chicago, people were literally willing to give Allen Robinson away before he signed with the Rams in the offseason.
Yeah, well, I mean, so, those people trading Robinson for a third round rookie pick.
Me and you's in one league right now where he's on waiver wire.
Exactly.
And so with it, man, you got to kind of keep your eye open on this stuff. And you got to, well, basically what we're getting at, man, is like buy the dip right now. Before these players actually have that resurgence like Michael Thomas, or before their value skyrockets like Albert O, go ahead and put some offers in there. Don't hurt nothing.
Yeah.
I know if you're like me and you got 3 or 4 second round picks in 2022 class and you don't like no players sitting there, go to try to get one of those vets. I know last year I saw Cortland Sutton get traded for a 3rd round draft pick.
Yeah.
And so like you could very easily go out and buy one of the veteran players that people are out on right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you, like you said, if you could take a mid-second and go get Michael Thomas, and 6 weeks into the season, he's a top 10 receiver, you know, it's going to complete. You're not going to get that kind of production. To me, I'm not saying it's a horrible year, and the receivers are probably the best spots in this year's rookie draft, but I don't think you're going to get a top 10 receiver in the mid to late second round, so...
No, you're looking at it like you're looking along the same lines of like Rondale Moore and LaVisca Chenault and all of them. Like you may have one player that hits, but those picks right now, they ain't looking too great.
Chenault is the guy that I almost went with on this because I think he's going to have a great year too. So,
I mean, there's rumors right now that he could get traded.
Oh, really?
There's a lot of teams that are interested in him right now. Just because they went out and got, who was it, Kirk? And there was one more wide receiver. I don't remember who it was.
They've still got Marvin Jones too, don't they?
That's who it is. They got Marvin Jones ahead of
them. Yeah.
And so really, Chenault's the third best option. And they went out and got Evan Ingram.
We'll take him in Green Bay.
I think y'all take anything
take anybody. I mean, you know.
Would you rather have the Green Bay wide receiver room or the Detroit Lions wide receiver room?
I'd take Detroit right now.
All right, Green Bay or Houston Texans?
I don't even know who's at Houston. They still got Cooks?
Yeah, Cooks just signed a 3-year extension, and they got Nico Collins.
Mm, probably go with Green Bay just because I think Lazard and when you say receivers, I'm throwing tight ends in there too. I think Tonyan, if he's healthy, will help.
Well, I think honestly, you throw in they have to draft a wide receiver this year too.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's no doubt they've either got to make a big time trade or they've got to go out and get a receiver.
If they don't, Rodgers just needs to walk out the door.
I mean, I don't know, man. You hear conflicting stories, but a lot of people say it's because of the contract he signed. He's got a lot, you know, and he did. Yep. I mean, he tied up a lot of the money, and that's the difference, you know. I'm a Green Bay fan, and I like Rodgers, but now I'm a Brett Favre fan when it comes down to it. I like Rodgers, but I'm not, you know, I'm not all about him like I was Favre, because you look at the difference in what Tom Brady done, took less money and went to a team to build a team to win a championship, to where Rodgers, I honestly didn't think it was about the money. You know, with the contract he signed, we know it was. So.
Well, I mean, I think you see similar issues to where – you got Patrick Mahomes, who just got paid a crap ton of money, and because of that, you've now had like a weaker defense and not really a lot of money to spend. You have teams like Arizona Cardinals, who are in a struggle right now with Kyler Murray, and if they give him the bag and they actually pay the man, then how are you going to go out and get free agents and stuff? And I think another good example of that, Marcus, is Matthew Stafford.
Exactly.
Man, it looks like the Rams have unlimited salary cap right now. Yeah. But part of that is the structured contracts and stuff.
Yeah. You look at these guys. Well, you take Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, for instance. Those dudes are making more money off commercials than probably some of the quarterbacks in the league. You know, you're making plenty of money. Take a pay cut. You're living way above your means. And I understand that, you know, you can only play this game for 15 years. And then, you know, it really changes your lifestyle with the beatings that you take, but still you're going to be able to live comfortable the rest of your life. But when you get that big money, you put your team in a bind to where it's hard to compete.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, Marcus, let's get ready to close this show out, man. Just for our listeners, we just want to thank y'all once again. Y'all support each and every week is one of the reasons that we do this. I know right now our listenership is kind of down and everything, but, you know, it's the off season, so we kind of expected that. We're excited for the NFL season to kind of get back started up and for Dynasty Leagues to start getting a little bit more active now. I know we have the NFL draft coming up at the end of the month, and that's something I'm super excited about. And so keep a close eye on that. Like I said, listeners, we appreciate you guys. Continue to support us, continue to just listen to the podcast and whatnot. Give us some feedback if you like to. You can do that over on Facebook at Legacy of Legends, the Dynasty Podcast, or on Twitter at LOL Dynasty Pod. You can also give us an honest and genuine 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts if you so choose. Something I would like to say as well is that we'll plan on having another podcast in 2 weeks, Marcus, if you're okay with that. We'll have another rookie spotlight, and then we'll try to come up with something else if there's no NFL news to break down. Marcus, I'll tell you something that would be fun that we need to do in the next couple episodes. It's kind of calling our shots for breakout players. And so, who's going to be the next Dalton Schultz? Who's going to be the next whoever? And so I think it'd be a fun episode one day.
All right.
All right, Marcus, you got anything else to say to the listeners before we head out?
That's it, man. Sounds good. Y'all keep checking us out. Keep bearing through these episodes.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate you guys, and we'll talk to y'all soon. See y'all.